You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
You're listening to Bloomberg Law with June Grasso from Bloomberg Radio.
The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has been protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline and litigating against it for years, saying the project threatens their water supply and religious rights. But since the beginning of his administration, President Trump has pledged to get rid of the red tape he calls federal regulations, backing major oil pipeline projects.
We've begun the most far-reaching regulatory reform in American history. We've approved long-stalled projects like the Keystone XL and the Dakota Access Pipelines.
But those pipelines are stalled once again, and another major pipeline project is over. This week, environmentalists are celebrating a trifecta of victories blocking major oil pipelines as a court ordered the Dakota Access Pipeline to shut down pending an environmental review. The Supreme Court refused to reinstate streamlined permitting for the Keystone XL pipeline, and developers of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline just called it quits. Joining me is Pat Parento, a professor of environmental law at the Vermont Law School. Pat, this is the first time that a judge has ordered a major oil and gas pipeline to shut down.
I think it was surprising that Judge Boasberg, who is known as a judge who's sympathetic to environmental issues, but who, you know, is not a sure thing when it comes to rulings. He has issued 10 different opinions in this Dakota Access Pipeline case. Most of them went in favor either of the government or the pipeline company, and so it was a big surprise that he took into account the disruptive effect of stopping the oil flowing through the pipeline while an environmental impact statement is done, which will take, by the Corps' estimate, 13 months or more. But he said, you know, I really don't think I have a choice. I warned the Corps that they were proceeding in haste and not taking into account the threats to the water supply of the Standing Rock tribe and others, where the pipeline was going to go under the Missouri River and under Lake Oahe, and that's the source of drinking water for the tribe, and it's very close to the reservation. So even though he had told the Corps exactly what they needed to do to fix the problems with their analysis, they didn't do it. Maybe because they're under the orders of the president to get this thing done and approved and over with. We don't know. But the point is, the judge says, you didn't really leave me any option other than to just allow you to continue to thumb your nose at the law, other than to shut you down. So that's what I've done.
So now, at the same time, the Supreme Court has agreed to reinstate a fast-track water permitting program for pipelines across the country, except for the Keystone XL.
Yes, that's right. The Center for Biological Diversity and some tribes and some other environmental groups had sued, challenging the construction of Keystone under this nationwide permit, number 12. Judge Morris in Montana concluded that the nationwide permit that the Corps of Engineers uses to authorize pipeline construction was illegal. And it was illegal because the Corps didn't consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service under the Endangered Species Act, because, of course, all of these pipelines across the country, there are thousands of miles of them, they do from time to time encounter endangered species habitat. And so Judge Morris said, your permit's illegal. But he went further and said, because the nationwide permit itself is illegal, all of the construction that's relying on it should stop. And that's what the Supreme Court said. No, we're not going to enjoin all pipeline construction across the country, but the injunction against Keystone will stand for now.
And for the trifecta here, and we talked about this case when it came before the Supreme Court. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline had just won a Supreme Court victory, but its developers are pulling the plug on it.
Yes, I mean, the cost of the pipeline are skyrocketing. The original estimate was something like $5 billion. It's now $8 billion. There are still three other injunctions against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline pending in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. So the developer finally just threw in the towel and said, we just can't absorb these escalating costs. And, of course, at the same time, there's a glut of gas on the market. And with the unknown consequences of the coronavirus pandemic in its economic fallout, it's not clear when, you know, that market demand is going to rebound. So the backers of this project, the financiers of this project, are concluding it's just too big a risk and it just isn't as profitable as it once looked. And it's a real interesting point here that you mentioned, the trifecta, with these three huge decisions affecting major pipelines coming within days almost of each other, and all of them related to legal problems that, frankly, are a result of the Trump administration's determination to ramrod these projects through the law, and the federal courts are stopping them left and right. Market forces are contributing to it, but the legal vulnerabilities of these projects is a big reason why they're collapsing.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Is it because the environmentalists who've been bringing these actions have been smart about where to bring them, have used a specific strategy, or is it just that the Trump administration hasn't been following the law?
It's both. I mean, clearly the courts are finding in case after case that the administration is not following the law. And again, these laws, like the National Environmental Policy Act, have been on the books for 50 years. So it's not anything new that the courts are coming up with. They're simply saying the law is really clear here, and you're simply not following it. And in part because you're getting a direction from the White House to accelerate these energy projects, damn the torpedoes and damn the law kind of process. And that's really the major reason. The environmental groups have been smart in picking their targets and making their arguments. But frankly, I think the Trump administration is losing these cases more than the environmentalists are winning them.
There was always this idea, not in law, but this idea that courts would never shut down pipelines that were in service. Now that we have this decision, will it fuel litigation against existing pipelines?
I don't think so. I think the environmentalists here have been smart and strategic in going after, for the most part, these major projects. I mean, Keystone, again, is importing some of the dirtiest fuel on the planet from the Bakken crude oil sources in Canada. And so the targets so far, I think, have been chosen because they do represent a major investment in fossil fuel infrastructure that's, of course, driving the climate crisis, more so than just suing on every single pipeline everywhere. I mean, there are, you know, a lot of pipelines in service that are not being sued against. The Enbridge Line number 3 is another big one coming down out of Canada and through the upper Midwest, and that's very much in litigation. But I'm not seeing that, you know, environmental groups or local groups are suing every single pipeline in the country. That doesn't seem to be happening.
What is it with the Army Corps of Engineers? Have they always been so, it seems, slipshod in the way they perform these environmental reviews?
No. In fact, the Corps of Engineers has a pretty good track record defending their permit decisions before the Trump administration. Not to say they haven't lost. They do occasionally lose these cases, but nothing like what we're seeing now. And I don't think the professional staff of the Corps of Engineers is the problem. I think it's the political appointees above them. Remember that the Corps of Engineers is part of the Department of Defense and the Department of the Army. And so by the time you get way down into the rank and file career people in the Corps of Engineers, they're being directed what to do. It is very much a hierarchical military style organization, the Corps of Engineers. So when they get directions from above, even if they don't like them, they'll follow them. And in these cases, they're following them right into an injunction.
With the Dakota Access Pipeline, I recall, I'm sure most listeners recall, that there were protests that went on for months at the site, you know, supporting the American Indian tribes and even support from celebrities. And this is also being looked at as not just an environmental justice win, but a social justice win.
Yes, that's true. Yes. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, Indian reservations, the Sioux tribes in the Dakotas, with some of the highest unemployment rates in the country, the worst public health services in the country. They're suffering disproportionately from the coronavirus pandemic, as well as many other environmental impacts. And, you know, so we're watching the result of the Black Lives Matter movement, but it's now beginning to incorporate the rights of indigenous people and the problems that they're suffering. So the Dakota Access Pipeline has more to do with the direct impacts on their water supply. And the judge, you know, basically said, your analysis of what would happen if there was a spill from this pipeline, and of course pipelines do spill frequently, your ability to detect that spill, to correct it, to stop it, to protect that water supply, your analysis just is too weak, and it's been criticized by a number of experts once you put it out for public comment, and yet you didn't respond to the criticisms you got. All of that is systematic with regard to the way facilities are sited in minority communities, including tribal communities, and their rights, both their sovereign rights, in some of cases these reservations have the rights of a sovereign, are not being respected. They're not being consulted in the way they should be, and so forth. So Dakota Access Pipeline has all kinds of elements. It's got climate change. It's got environmental justice. It's got legal compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act issues. It's got a whole mix of things going on.
Are there any other pipeline projects around the country that have social justice issues that you can name, or are you just talking in general?
I think Enbridge Line Number 3, as it's called, that's up in Minnesota, is being opposed by tribal interests because it's crossing reservation lands. It's affecting some of their wetlands and streams that are part of their natural resource base for some of these communities, fisheries and so forth. So that's one that certainly combines a number of these environmental justice issues. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline did as well because they were going to put a compressor station for the pipeline in a Black community in Virginia. And now that pipeline has been scrapped, of course, that compressor station won't be built. But that was another element of the fight over the Atlantic Coast Pipeline.
Thanks for being on the Bloomberg Law Show, Pat, as always. That's Pat Parento, a professor at the Vermont Law School. And that's it for this edition of Bloomberg Law. Remember, you can always get the latest legal news on our Bloomberg Law podcast. You can find them on iTunes, SoundCloud, or at Bloomberg.com/podcast/law. I'm June Grosso. Thanks for listening. And remember to tune into the Bloomberg Law Show every weeknight at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.